Hello and welcome to another episode of Medical Minds Conversations with Guthrie Experts. I'm Steve Osterhaus, joined as always by Dr. Corinne Johnston. And today is another Medical Minds Mini. Hello, Dr. Johnston. How are you?
Hi, Steve. I'm doing well. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. And, we were kind of joking before starting recording this episode. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about lower back pain and how it's, I guess we could call it common among many people.
Yeah, very common. I think we'd be hard pressed to find someone, maybe, I don't want to say middle-aged, but maybe the closer to middle-aged than they are to the drinking age, that right. hasn't maybe, done something, woken up one morning and thought, oh man, my low back really hurts.
Yeah. As we were both saying, pretty much, we woke up this morning and we were experiencing some low back pain. So yeah, pretty much every day.
It is. Yeah. So about 85% of adults are going to have low back pain at some point in their lives. We stand upright, erect, and we do a lot of things. If you think of all the ways you can move in your low spine, it takes a lot of impact over the years. That can lead to low back pain. But my interest in discussing this topic, it's a very common complaint that we see in primary care. And I think there's some misconceptions about it that, we need immediate x-rays or we need labs or I need an MRI. I hear that very commonly. And perhaps maybe, or perhaps down the line, but to start out with, low back pain is very rarely an indicator of serious illness. So less than 1% of patients who are seen will have a serious cause of their back pain. And those serious causes, they usually have a red flag that'll point your provider pretty quickly towards the need for an evaluation for something else. So, those might be the history of cancer, progressive weakness and falls, urinary or bowel incontinence, unexplained weight loss, fever, night sweats, signs of infection, those sort of things that might tell us this isn't just, I cleaned my house yesterday and then this morning I woke up a little sore.
Well, I remember there was about a 12 to 18 month stretch where I had, one side had lower back pain, and this was several years ago now, but it started immediately after, I think, a really bad winter. So I was shoveling. Yes. And I am too stubborn with the whole snowblower, because I always say by the time I get the snowblower turned on and everything else and all started up, I could have just shoveled the driveway. Now, I don't have a huge driveway, but
yeah.
So I would do that. And I think it was a particularly bad year for snow here in the Northeast. Mm-hmm. And I remember feeling sore, and I never went to the doctor or did anything about it.
Yeah.
But it was pretty bothersome. But then, like I said, 12 to 18 months later, it was just gone. I don't know if there's an answer for that one other than me just being stupid and stubborn, but.
Well, no, I mean, I think, the most common cause of, we would call it non-specific back pain, right? It's not specifically pointing us to anything, but, that's the most common cause of back pain, and we call that mechanical back pain. So that can be related to, underlying things like aging, things you maybe did, sports you played, things you did to your body younger. Some people, there's some inflammatory processes. Some people have small curvatures of the spine can cause, as we age, more and more problems because of the muscles there. And then, there's a lot of things that don't come right out of the spine. Your hip can cause back pain. Your piriformis muscle, that's that muscle right in the middle of your butt cheeks that if you went up on both sides, that causes all sorts of problems with your back. Your IT band, which runs down the sides of your legs, can refer to back pain.
You say piriformis? Problems.
Yeah, piriformis.
That's going to be a trivia question. I'll have to include some point.
Yeah, write that one down. It is. It is a little muscle that attaches our sacrum to our leg bone, and it gets tight, and that's one of the main causes of sciatica. When people, my sciatica.
Okay.
That muscle pushes, runs on most people right over that nerve, and it gets tight and it just pushes on that nerve. And so push right in the middle of their butt cheek and they'll tell you if that really hurts. But that's a common cause, right? So, and then there's even things like shingles, right? Sometimes my back hurts and we look at your skin and you have a rash. Or kidney stones, right? Those can present with back pain or kidney infections. So there are a lot of things that can cause back pain that aren't necessarily what you think. Although I think as we age, the stories are never good.
No, like, right. Well, I had my appendix out and I remember, you know, everyone was saying, oh, is it on your side? Is that what hurts? For me, it was everywhere, including my back. It was just complete soreness and just discomfort all the way around.
Yeah, it can go everywhere. And so that's why, you know, that important piece, right, when you go in with this pain, like, well, one, it's, we've talked about this on some of our podcasts, but it's trusting your provider, right, who's going to do an excellent history. So, you know, I believe, as do many of my colleagues, that if you ask the right questions, the patient will tell you what's wrong with them. You know, Steve, when did this back pain start? Oh, I was shoveling all this snow, you know, repeatedly. And I always shovel the same way because I'm right-handed, you know, in the way I would twist myself. So, you know, they're going to talk about things like the onset, location, duration, what makes it better, what makes it worse, when does it happen, how severe is it? And then you're going to get a good physical exam. And likely, 99% of the time, you're going to get a recommendation for conservative therapies. So you're not going to walk out with an x-ray if it's under 4 weeks and it doesn't have any red flags. You're not going to get labs, but they might tell you to take some of those, we call them non-steroidal anti-inflammatories. So ibuprofen, if you're listening, ibuprofen 400 to 600 milligrams four times a day, naproxen 1 to 2 tabs twice a day. If you can't take those, you can try some Tylenol. You know, those are kind of the mainstays in avoiding bed rest. That's the hardest one. Yeah. That used to be the prescription. Go home and rest. But now it's do the activity as tolerated. Try not to sit for prolonged periods of time. And then advance your activity as you can.
Okay. I would have never thought that.
Yeah. And, you know, and then maybe you end up with some physical therapy down the road. Maybe you end up with an x-ray down the road if things don't get better. But really interesting, you know, they've done studies, and this is the stuff that doctors like, but studies show that early imaging provides no improvement in pain. It provides no improvement in disability, patient-reported outcomes. We might find things that are clinically insignificant. We call those incidentalomas, which are nothing, but then we have to look further and further. It can be associated with the increased risk of opioids, which we know are not good now, not good things to prescribe regularly. So doing early imaging can be associated with that. And then you just think about healthcare costs, right? As we're all have co-pays now and we all have deductibles, and how much is healthcare costing us as a system? So trust your doctor. If they tell you, we're just going to try some ibuprofen and we'll see you in a month to see how you're feeling. And here's some home exercises.
All right. Great advice as always, Dr. Johnson. Thank you so much. And before we go, one personal note from me that this will be my last podcast with you. But the podcast is continuing. It's just not going to be with me. But that's because I'm just have another opportunity that's a little bit closer to home for me. So I'm going to take that opportunity. However, not only will this podcast continue, but there will be someone else in my place who will be joining Dr. Johnson. Dr. Johnson is not going anywhere. And it may be someone who you have seen before if you are a regular watcher of this podcast. So stay tuned for that. We don't want to give anything too soon. But it's been an absolute pleasure, Dr. Johnson, working with you. I've learned so much and had a great time becoming colleagues and friends with you.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. Much appreciated. For those listening, Steve's the one who came to me and said, Dr. Johnson, will you do this with me? And I really think he thought he was going to have to twist my arm, but I jumped in with both feet. And it's been a real source of fun and a lot of learning for me, too. I mean, you know, there are things I'm jotting down during podcasts to incorporate into my clinical care. So a great thing that we started, and maybe we'll have to bring you back as an expert down the road.
I don't know what I'd be an expert on. Certainly not anything in the clinical world, but stay away from that episode.
You never know, Steve. You never know.
All right. Sounds great. Again, it's been a pleasure. And also, if anyone has any ideas for topics that they'd like Dr. Johnson and their upcoming co-host to talk about, you know, we want to hear from you. So please go to corporate_communications@guthrie.org. Again, that's corporate_communications@guthrie.org. And feel free to shoot us a line, shoot us a note. I'd love to hear about topic X, Y, or Z. And Dr. Johnston will definitely jump on to another episode and talk about that for you, because we're here to help you. And if you'd like any help moving forward on a number of topics, you can go back and listen to any episode you may have missed, or you can go to guthrie.org/engage. And that's our Guthrie Engage webpage with lots of great tips and information. So until next time with your other co-host, have a great time, Dr. Johnston, and we'll be in touch.
Thank you, Steve.